those same women and attack them viciously.
So much of what he's just said is not right.
The pair clashed over Mrs. Clinton's private emails.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
Many commentators are scoring the showdown as a draw.
So it may be a draw. Probably the best line was you'd be in jail. But my goodness me, it is, if we use the most topical phrase at the moment, circus-like. Let me speak to political observer and commentator Malachy O'Doherty. Malachy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Malachy, the Americans, are they embarrassed by both of these presidential hopefuls?
Yes, I think that, well, I mean, the Americans is a very broad term, but yes, certainly those feelings are being expressed by a lot of people. I think, it's easy to name Trump as the buffoon, you know, and I think yesterday when we were anticipating this debate, we were anticipating a complete rout, you know, that the man would be utterly humiliated, that he had already completely humiliated himself, and that all that remained essentially was for Hillary to basically trounce him, wipe the floor with him and throw him off the stage, which did not seem yesterday at this time to be too great a challenge, you know. And yet, he came through it with some degree of composure and tact. He let himself down very badly. He looked very aggressive. He was, his apology doesn't rate much as an apology. His apology amounts to it's locker room talk, in which means this is how all men talk when they're among men, right? Well, you know, that's not a defense that does much credit to other people either. So that doesn't go down well. Hillary herself,
but just on that, Malachy, is there a possibility that American society is more likely to accept that than Irish or British society? If we had a politician who has proven to speak about women like Trump spoke about them 11 years ago, he would simply step down for embarrassment at least, but yeah. he would certainly be considering his position. Trump sees this as something that most Americans totally accept. Yeah, that's the way guys speak.
Yeah, but that's not how guys speak, and I don't think that's how most Americans accept it. I think that's why you saw such a rush of Republicans away from him yesterday and over the weekend, you know, because actually, you know, America is a moralistic society. It's as moralistic as ourselves, perhaps more so in many ways. Trump intimated that that Hillary could get murdered. He said that he could shoot people in the street. He said that, you know, he said ghastly things. But there's a social cultural norm at the moment that says the worst thing you can do is celebrate the molestation of a woman. That really is the vilest sin in our canon at the moment. And that is what he did. You know, that is what he did, and it just wasn't tolerable. I think where he had a window of opportunity to turn the debate to his advantage was when others said, yes, all men are like that, and all men are not like that. And I would hate that the get-out clause for Trump would be that we're all do that. When Malachy O'Doherty and Frank Mitchell aren't on air, you know, they're leering at the women and they're fantasizing about how they would grope them. We're not, you know, and most men are not like that. I mean, we know some lovely, decent men. You wouldn't even dream of them talking like that, let alone take it for granted.
But has American society made the progress we've made?
I think in terms of what?
In terms of being disgusted at what he said about that woman on the bus 11 years ago, about what he liked to do with her, what he thought of her body, how he bluffed her into whatever he bluffed her into and wasn't successful. But it was all, ho, 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 I could take her, you boy, yeah, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. It was the sort of language that you would associate with 70s Britain.
Yes, yeah. And I think most Americans are appalled by it. And I think that is what Trump's big problem is. I think that has damaged him more than the other vile things that he said, because you're right, American society has moved on. I mean, there was a time, you know, look at, for instance, Gone with the Wind. Look at The Quiet Man. Look at the big films of say the 50s. you know, where the normal interaction of a man with a woman was to dominate her. Read the detective fiction of Raymond Chandler, you know, where you just, you know, where sexual grasping and just the manipulation of the woman is the normal foreplay, you know, of men. And that is all regarded now rightly as totally unacceptable.
Do you think he's genuinely apologetic? Do you think he is a new man compared to 11 years ago?
No. I think what was shocking was that it was of a piece with the kind of character that he's demonstrated right through the campaign. I think that's it. I think he did more to redeem himself last night in his summing up praise for Hillary Clinton when he said she's a fighter. I mean, that's the first time you get any kind of sense from Trump that here is a man who can respect a woman as an equal, you know. And he might have more cleverly presented more of that at other times in debate. But we've seen him, for instance, being interviewed by a woman and alluding to menstruation as a possible explanation for her aggressive questioning. You know, we've seen... we've seen very, very lurid behaviour towards women and very, very lurid language from him, you know, about women, suggesting that he does not remotely regard a woman as his equal.
So now, why is it then, with all of that about his personality and his character, why is it that they're still neck and neck in the polls? Why can Hillary Clinton not put him to the sword on this?
There's two things there. One is obviously there's that mood abroad, you know, in the same thing they gave us Brexit and Corbyn and Syriza in Greece. There's that mood abroad, you know, that after the economic crash of 2008, you know, that politics can't be put back together in the old way. And you know, there's a brashness in the voter ready to elect alternatives which really are radical and even disruptive. And that's part of it. The other part of it is that Hillary maybe isn't the candidate who would have won against a stronger, more credible Republican, you know. Hillary does have questions to answer. And you saw her last night being evasive on that whole question of the emails, you know. I mean, she was padding that whole thing about, oh, he didn't interrupt you, so, you know, she didn't interrupt you, so don't you interrupt her. And then what does she do? She drags it out. She milks that digression within the debate because she doesn't want to go there, you know. And she has questions to answer. And, I mean, the whole, you know, Bill Clinton was, you know, Bill Clinton was a philandering...
womanizer?
Predator, you know, yeah, a womanizer. And you know, and Hillary knew that. Now, Hillary can't be made answerable for the behavior of her husband. I mean, that's ludicrous. But is there some substance to the fact that she colluded in the, you know, the discrediting of those witnesses against him, you know? I mean, who knows, you know? It's certainly an argument that was quite cleverly posited. And we have had other presidents, John F. Kennedy. I mean, John F. Kennedy's nickname was Jack the Zipper, you know, because he was such, you know, apart from the big ones we know of, like Marilyn Monroe and his sexual antics there, you know, he was... you know, a sexually voracious man, you know, who wasn't exactly attracting women to him because he wanted late-night political conversations or philosophical discourse with him. He was a sexual grasper, you know. So, you know, there's another side of this that people say, well, you know, that is what these men are like, you know, that when you know, a man who has the hunger for power very often has that other hunger woven into it, you know.
I've also been reading commentary this morning from some female Republican supporters, and they are more or less saying, there were a couple of women who were saying that he's excused because women throw themselves at very powerful men. I was surprised to hear that coming from female commentators.
That surprises me too. I think that's, you know, I mean, you know, who are these women who throw themselves at powerful men? You know, I mean, there's obviously, you know, within both sexes, there's a range of personality types and behavior types, you know. But, I mean, to say it in that language implies that, for instance, the women that we work with, the women that we meet every day, the women that we respect and interact with, would, you know, brought into the presence of Donald Trump, go weak at the knees and offer their bodies to him. And that simply isn't true. You know, that is a scandalously stupid thing to say. It's a scandalously stupid generalization about women. There are no generalizations to make about women and how women or men will behave in these circumstances. And one of the cheapening of this debate, I mean, there were also articles in the Guardian website yesterday, you know, from people who would be appalled by Trump, but they're saying things like, all men are like that. That's what all men are like. You know, when they're on their own, when they're in the bar, when they're in the locker room, that is how they talk. And it simply isn't true. It is. You know, there's a name for that accusation, and that name is sexism.
Yeah, it is very true. In this day and age, the vast majority of men I know, and I'm sure the vast majority of men you know, don't talk like that.
No.
But 20 years ago, I'm not convinced it was the same. 20 years ago, men weren't as respectful of women as they are now. And I think that's just down to education. It's down to legislation. It's down to having a more of an understanding maybe of the women around you, the women you work with, equality and all of that, but the modern man, the man of today in Northern Ireland, has certainly made that journey.
Yes, that is right. That is right. I mean, we have been through a social revolution, and along with it comes the debates about. Well, I mean, it's not even a century since women only got the vote. You know, and there are other cultures in the world where a woman is still regarded as the chattel, the property of the man, and it's not so long ago since it was that way here. And I mean, we come out of a religious tradition which puts the woman in subservience to the man, and ideas that, you know, the double standard, the idea that the man the man's a bucko, you know, if he's having sex with several partners, but the woman is damaged goods. You know, all that whole culture of the demeaning of woman, of the secondary status of the woman. That, you are right. That is something that has only changed in our lifetimes. You know, but even then, you know, when a man felt that he had to be the boss of his household, and that he had a, you know, and that his wife didn't have a bank account, for instance, or when a woman had to leave her job when she got married, which was true in the RUC up to very recent times, it was true in the civil service up to recent times. You know, even in those times, there was still, you know, when I think back to my neighbours, you know, the men on the street, you know, the man who would give you a lift to work or that you would meet in the shop, you know, these were, you know, they weren't men who were scoffing about women. They weren't dirty-minded men. They weren't leering at women. They weren't they weren't contemptuous of women. They weren't treating women as accessible playthings. You know, so they were by the standards of our time sexist men because they lived in a sexist culture. But that doesn't mean. I mean, there was another value there at that time that went along with that. Male superiority, and that was the value of courtesy and respect. Now, okay, holding the door open and stuff, you know, we think that's outdated as well, but it was the counter to the sense of male superiority, was that you expressed that superiority through courtesy and through respect for a woman, not through being smutty in front of her. I remember, my father's generation, for instance, would have been very, very leery of you using swear words in the company of a woman.
Yes, of course, absolutely. Malachy, stay with me for a second, because, of course, Trump did make the point that too much emphasis was being put on the controversial comments of 11 years ago, and there was much more to discuss. There were serious world issues. I want to just come to that in a second, but on the issue that you're talking about, a gentleman called Bill has a point that he wants to make. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, the point I'd like to make, everybody's got a past. I mean, that was years ago when he made that comment, when he was a lot younger as well. I mean, he wasn't a young guy, don't get me wrong, but everybody's got a past. Have a look at our own politicians. We've got guys here in this country that killed and bombed and just murdered people, but they're still in politics. Politics is just a strange whole environment for me. It doesn't matter where you come from or what your background is. I mean, look at our own security minister. I mean, that girl just come into politics this year. No bad past about it, don't get me wrong. But straight into politics and takes over a leading role. You know, why would this man, why would he be held back because of a statement he made? Have a look at the music scene where you had roadies, women were treated. And I mean, we were down every avenue. We were down into every walk of life. And see these comments being made. Nobody's saying we accept them. But have a look around us before we start judging others.
But I think, Bill, the problem is that Trump is actually still seen in 2016 as someone who sees women as beneath him.